for Bitcoin to hit 10K, that means that everyone, ETFs, institutions, private holders, like the majority of these folks, would have to get rid of their Bitcoin for it to go this low.
Unfortunately, I think that now every politician is going to be way more tactful about how they approach breaking the news. They're going to try to soften everything.
This is a net negative. I think what they're trying to do is make sure that the market can operate like Bitcoin does. 24/7, immutable ledger. The problem is that these blockchains are centralized.
For all of these boomers with, you know, high net worth individuals that think it's just, you know, a set it and forget it by buying an ETFs or investing in a shit treasury, well, I have bad news for you, my friend.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Guys, up first from Cointelegraph, this is an alert. Mike McGlone, a senior commodity strategist at Bloomberg Intelligence, warns Bitcoin may be entering a long-term mean reversion with risks of a move toward $10,000 after its 2025 rollover. He sounds, as Greer, you mentioned offline, a lot like Peter Schiff. What's your take on this one, Greer?
I don't think this is happening. If it did happen, it would only occur for a few minutes. I mean, imagine a wick down to 10K. It would spike back up as everybody saw what a great buying opportunity this was. I don't think we're going down to 50. You know, Mike McGlone has been kind of bear posting over the last 6 months. He's calling for lower numbers. And yeah, like you said, you know, maybe he sees what Peter Schiff is able to generate in traffic and in clicks and views. And or maybe this is just Bloomberg fighting against a new technology that's emerging and taking over the world. I don't think Bitcoin's going lower as much as we might like it to so that we could purchase more. I think we're only going up over time. Maybe we'll have some more months of sideways trading, but Bitcoin is scarce. And the fact is, the buying is not stopped, and it won't stop anytime in the near future. So I think if you zoom out, we're only going up forever.
I agree with that. Tony, do you see any possibility? Like, is there a scenario? Because we're going to talk here in a few minutes about a recent dip. Do you think there's any possibility that we see something like this amidst, you know, fears of the unknown, the chaos going on in the world?
No, man, for Bitcoin to hit 10K, that means that everyone, ETFs, everyone, institutions, private holders, like the majority of these folks would have to get rid of their Bitcoin for it to go this low, which I honestly don't see happening at all. I don't know where this guy gets his predictions from. I don't know, maybe it sounds more like, you know, engagement baiting, or, you know, the only thing that's going to go this low is his high IQ as of this ridiculous post. There's no chance this happens. But, you know, I am cognizant of the fact that a lot of folks out there still treat Bitcoin as a speculative asset, which is like the dumbest thing you can do. But of course, you know, this is the world we live in, and people have to learn that lesson the hard way. So we still have to go through the ups and downs, and people like this clown don't help. You know, when somebody already knows nothing, and then, you know, he relies on, so to speak, influential experts like this guy, well, you know, it just prolongs the pain.
I think you also raise a really good point that we've got a lot more passive buyers, people just holding in ETFs, that kind of thing going on. And I don't suspect us paranoid crypto anarchists are likely to just dump all of our Bitcoin at any point in time. We've been holding for a long time, high conviction. So I would tend to...
And who knows, man, like this guy can be paid to say these stupidities. Like, I mean, you don't know what's going on in the background. We are still definitely at the they fight you stage. And this could be just, you know, one of many things included in that mix.
Speaking of the then they fight you stage, so TFTC reported, I think yesterday, yeah, Google Maps deleted PubKey DC's entire listing overnight. All reviews and photos gone, no warning, no explanation given, so you can't find PubKey DC at the moment. And Hunter Beast quote tweeted it, and it said, taps the sign, and he linked to his post where he said, safe to say we're still squarely in the then they fight you stage. I would tend to agree with that, but Tony, I would love to hear your thoughts on this particular move.
Yeah, of course, man. These events, like for me, are bullish, believe it or not, because it just highlights what kind of garbage we have out there that people are so accustomed to using on a daily basis, thinking it's good. when you put, you know, the so much power in the hands of, you know, one institution, in this case, Google, who can literally erase this company's existence by a click of a button, like that's insane, right? Like that should push everyone to find solutions to prevent this from happening ever again. So if Google can delete the address and the existence of an institution, can you imagine the abuse of a bank with your money? This is what's so mind-blowing to me, that most people still don't understand this and still entrust third parties with their wealth, knowing that this very example that Google did can happen, copy-paste from any bank with your money. So now that there's an option that prevents this entirely, why aren't more people racing towards it, right? Like, I mean, it's like an enigma almost to try to figure out this mystery when it's clearly so obvious to people like us.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's one of these things, though, that we to your point, Tony, we become so reliant on a couple of companies for fundamental services, because you know that basically, you know, the rideshare companies, all of they're plugging into Google Maps. And so if you're trying to plug in, you know, PubKey DC, you're probably going to have a hard time, if I were to guess. And it's going to be more and more difficult for Bitcoin, for physical Bitcoin or locations to continue to thrive. But I agree with you. I think what the signal it sends to me isn't, oh, shoot, they're fighting us. It's they're concerned that we're about to win in some very big, significant way. And so it makes me optimistic that we're just heading in the right direction. We got to.
Yeah, we definitely need more decentralized solutions to absolutely everything, man. This is like handing someone a gun and praying they don't shoot you. Yeah. Like, why would you give someone the gun in the first place? Right. Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, PubKey in New York famously took the first Bitcoin transaction, and President Trump bought a beer over the Lightning Network. You know, so this is a cultural hub for Bitcoiners. And I think the lesson is, you know, if we're going to be the crypto capital of the world, you know, we need friends in Washington. Maybe they didn't support the Genius Act or the Clarity Bill or who knows what. And this is just retribution. But you're right. When a company has this much power, you know, we're pretty much like ants under the magnifying glass. So, you know, my hope is that sort of being deplatformed by Google really just raises awareness. You know, this is a bar where you can enjoy Bitcoin culture. This isn't a subversive group of people. You know, these are your bros, these are your friends. And I think that, you know, getting deplatformed like this is really just going to drive more awareness for what a great place this is.
I think that's well said. Alrighty, guys, we've got from 7Cs, which is an interesting account to follow if you don't already. So he quote tweeted just in from the New York Stock Exchange, they're launching a 24/7 U.S. stock trading platform through new on-chain tokenization. He had tweeted back in June of last year, the tokenization of everything is approaching. It'll start with stocks and bonds. Eventually, every strawberry at the grocery store will have a token ID. And so now what he is saying is, and the stocks and bonds are starting. Greer, what is your take on this? A 24/7 on-chain tokenized exchange for stock trading.
This means that you'll own nothing and be happy, in my opinion. You know, tokenization means that you own an IOU of something that's already permissioned, you know, like a stock or a bond. So I think that this is a net negative. You know, I think what they're trying to do is make sure that the market can operate like Bitcoin does. 24/7 immutable ledger. The problem is that these blockchains are centralized. And I think the also dangerous thing that we can see is that with Polymarket, with Kalshi, with people betting and gambling on certain world events, that type of behavior is now coming for the stock market. And to me, that's a net negative for humanity. You know, Bitcoin is the alternative. You can save your time and energy and effort, and you can own it. You don't need someone else's blockchain. You can run a node at your own home. And this is an alternative. This is a stark contrast. I expect to see everything in the world get tokenized over time. And I think if you are a sovereign individual, this doesn't appeal to you. You know, there's nothing to be gained except an incredible amount of risk.
I think the one potential advantage that I see to this is that no more Friday night announcements with zero consequence, which is what they usually do. You know, that's the Fed point. Comes out and makes an announcement on a Friday, and then they scramble to have a solution by Sunday, so that way Monday the markets don't get wrecked. Now people are going to respond in real time, presumably, to news as it unfolds. Unfortunately, I think that now every politician is going to be way more tactful about how they approach breaking the news. They're going to try to soften everything. So we're going to have even less transparency from the people who are announcing, you know, disasters as they come. Tony, what do you think?
I think this is terrible news, man. And I don't understand how not more people are up in arms against something like this. Like, who gives the right for a handful of psychopaths to think that they own the world and can just do whatever they want with it? I mean, this will appeal to those that understand nothing. I mean, this is why I keep saying I genuinely believe we're headed towards a two-tier world. You know, the sheep and those, you know, that don't want to think and just, you know, follow the rules, placed in nice little shiny cages, and then the other half that are completely sovereign. And those that are sovereign, living with sovereign money, unconfiscatable money, they won't even be paying attention to this news. Like, I mean, this is like a world that's far, far away from their everyday reality, right? And so I'm just like really shocked as to how there's no more like a massive pushback against this news, which gets worse every other week. It's not like it gets better, right? And people can't be that oblivious. But, you know, then again, with a lack of pushback and reaction, it seems like they are, which is even more terrifying than the news itself.
I agree. Alrighty, guys. So Palantir, according to leading report, is reportedly developing a tool for ICE that displays a map of potential deportation targets, allows agents to pull up detailed profiles on individuals, and assigns a confidence score estimating how likely each person is to be at a given address. And of course, Axiomatic Enemy of the State tweets, this will eventually be used against you too. People have learned absolutely nothing from the implementation of the Patriot Act. Couldn't agree more with that. Tony, what's your take on this?
You are not free people in the United States, guys. I mean, this can't be more clear. The fact that this tech is allowed to progress the way it is, and the fact that it's, you know, continuously used and abused in the ways that we read about, there's only one way this ends, if, you know, enough people want it to end. And it's not going to happen at the voting booth. It's not going to happen, you know, anywhere over a late night dinner. It's going to happen in one of two ways. You either defund it by, you know, opting out of the money that powers it all, or you go to war against it. Anything else, you're just going to comply with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think most people, as they assess the options, will choose to opt out. The question is, how much pain is it going to take? We were talking about that a bit offline. And unfortunately, I think a lot more than we've experienced now. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, we're cooked. This is the problem, reaction, solution scenario just playing out. You know, import 30 million illegals, get the country to be riled up and upset, and now provide the solution that they wanted all along, which is track and trace of individuals. So yeah, take out the subject here and replace it with any other people group. You know, think about the opposite party at any year. It doesn't matter if it's this year, next year, or 10 years from now. But as political power swings from the left to the right, the targets change also. So I think as Americans, as Tony said, we should be resisting this. And I think it's also very, very obvious that if you are on the other side of this trade, you are going to regret that you just allowed it to happen. So at the same time, you know, my questions are like, what are we supposed to do about it? I think we have elected officials. If you can pick up a phone and call someone, that might be your best option. I think we know that, you know, voting doesn't seem to help anymore. Maybe it did at one point, but it certainly doesn't now. But I think we're just seeing sort of the walls close in on the surveillance state. It's here and it's growing, and we're getting real world use cases that we are, you know, we're expected to go along with. But there's always the other side that's a little bit darker.
Yeah, I don't know how Peter Thiel sleeps at night. He's a piece of shit. Okay, we've got 10 million Bitcoin held in self-custody. So this is, I think, down, Tony, you said, from, we thought it maybe was mid 50%, so it's down to 49%. The good news is we're still at about half of Bitcoin is held in self-custody. We need to grow that number, I think, immensely. But Tony, as someone who has trained a ton of people on taking proper self-custody, you talk about it all the time. What's your assessment of this this chart here?
Man, laziness and convenience is a very powerful drug. And unfortunately, a lot of people are still addicted to it. But this time around, you know, this laziness and convenience is going to lead to destruction, economic, financial destruction. And that's a lesson that I think too many folks are going to have to experience in order to understand that, you know, relying on a third party for the preservation or the managing or securing of your money is a definite sign of mental illness. That addiction, that belief, that stupidity must be killed if you want to move forward into a world where you regain full control over everything that you put your energy into. So relying on institutions because it's just easier or because you think it's safer, that is a mirage, my friend. And a mirage is going to dry up real fast, much sooner than you think. So for all of these boomers with, you know, high net worth individuals that think it's just, you know, a set it and forget it by buying an ETFs or investing in a shit treasury, well, I have bad news for you, my friend. You're going to have your Lebanon and Iran moment a lot quicker than you think.
If you're in one of these, to the right, we've got exchanges and custodians, indirect exposure, and some yet to be mined. If you're in the exchanges and custodians or indirect exposure camp, and you're not happy with number go up so far, it's your fault, okay? Run a node, take self-custody. It's the only way we can verify that there's not paper Bitcoin, and paper Bitcoin doesn't offer you the promise that you probably signed up for when you decided to start living on Bitcoin anyway. Greer, what do you have to add to that?
It's just staggering to see how much Bitcoin has gone into custody and the exchanges especially. You know, 7 million Bitcoin being held by institutions. I get that there are reputable partners out there that are holding Bitcoin at scale, but we want to see more people holding Bitcoin in self-custody with their private keys in their own control. You know, I think that this red chart probably accounts for 3 or 4 million Bitcoin that are lost, you know, that will never be recovered. So I think that the real wake-up call is that too much Bitcoin exists at the institutional level. And if your coins are on Coinbase or another exchange, move them into self-custody as quickly as possible. Remove the counterparty risk. You don't need to have that in your life. You'll sleep so much better at night knowing that you control the keys.
Amen. Okay, we've got Eric Doherty tweeted, breaking a massive amount of Albertans. He doesn't say a number. I have no idea how big this actually is, but it seems, you know, compelling. Massive amounts of Albertans just formed a huge line to sign a petition to secede from Canada and potentially become the 51st state after gaining independence. It's the most conservative Canadian province, and an election could be held soon for secession. This guy welcomes that. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion about adding a 51st state. It looks like we're conquering a lot of land. I'm not sure how much more we need. But Tony, you've spent some time in Canada. I would love to hear your thoughts as to whether or not this seems good, viable. Are you interested? Do you care?
I don't know how they think it's a good idea. You know, this is, for me, this is what's a bit puzzling. You're going from a bad situation to a potentially worse one. If you really want to be independent, you base that independence on sound money. You don't go, you know, from one shit system into another one thinking it's going to somehow be all rosy. If they're still using the dollar, you know, as an independent country, then they're not independent at all. If they're basing their independence, let's say, on a Bitcoin standard, making that legal tender and, you know, rearranging the standards and way of life, you know, in that sense, that could be a lot more compelling and potentially, you know, like an example for other, you know, provinces or countries to follow along. But to go from, you know, one bad system into another, I think it's a terrible idea and a waste of time.
See, I'm going to have to disagree. Now for them, I don't care if Alberta joins the United States. I mean, I haven't thought about that except for just looking at the story. But I think that, first of all, we've got clown world politics here in the U.S. Absolutely. We do have the currency that's going to die last, which I think is advantageous. And also, we don't have a two-time central banker at the helm, which is what Canada has. Like, they have opted into direct socialism. We have remnants of a free market in the United States and a lot of firearms. So if I had to choose between being in Canada or being a part of the United States, it's not even close. I agree with you. It's not perfect, but no place is perfect. And I can understand why Canada would say, hey, we're going to opt to be the 51st state over being one of the provinces of Canada.
Yeah, but hold on. You're trading a central banker for a central bank digital currency and a surveillance state.
That's coming everywhere, though.
Yeah, but who's leading the way?
The UK, Australia.
No, the UK. The UK is leading the implementation. But what tech are they using? Where is it coming from?
Yeah, they're using US tech. That can be outsourced anywhere. The Palantir's not gonna. It's not like the US has a monopoly on making that decision to implement it. Palantir is gonna sell their technology to Israel, to all the Western Europe, to all of our allies. And they're going to all do the same thing. So all I'm saying is, if I had to choose, would I want to be in a place where generally day to day in a state where I like in a state where I live, I can do the things I want to do. I can go take a hike in the woods without being fined like you can in Nova Scotia. I can own as many firearms as I want. Like, I'd rather take that than whatever they're doing in Canada. That's all I'm saying.
I think it'd be interesting to look at two things. You know, Trump has probably made this completely pointless, right? Because he's going to take over Canada anyway after he secures Greenland. So if you're in Alberta, just wait. You'll be part of the mix. But it could be interesting to see if Alberta gets special abilities, rights, designations because they join the United States. You know, with all the countries saying that we shouldn't take Greenland, you know, Alberta's not jumping across the border the way they are in Central America. So I think that's interesting. And the final point is, you know, the Republicans would probably look at this group of Albertans and say they're ideologically aligned. They're our type of people. We control the House, the Senate, the presidency. We might as well get more voters while we have the chance. If you were a Republican, I think you'd get this deal done, you know, within a week. But, you know, at the same time, it'll probably happen anyway.
Greer, I don't want to spend too much time. Is a conservative Canadian, though, sufficiently conservative to be a Republican in the U.S.?
I think that's a great question. I would, you know, I would say if America does acquire Canada, it should be a vassal state. I'm sorry, Canadians. You don't get voting rights, but you get trade between our countries, normalized relations. You can, you know, maybe it's easier to get across the border and vacation in Florida.
No, man, if they wanted to make this like a meaningful upgrade, they should, you know, consider becoming parts of the United Arab Emirates. That would be a significant upgrade. I mean, geographically, they're not that close, but then that's not really a requirement, right?
That's logistically complicated, though. But I hear your point. And I think what they're doing is they're saying, look, this is a terrible situation. We'll take a less terrible situation, but we'll see. Guys, we spent a lot of time on that, so we might need to move quickly through some of these. So Mags shared this video. Actually, hey, let's just watch that. Hopefully you guys can hear this.
China just unveiled a spy drone that looks like a mosquito, and it's smaller than the tip of a pencil, yet it's a fully functional surveillance device. Measuring just 0.6 centimeters, this tiny drone is packed with micro cameras and microphones that can record audio, capture video, and transmit everything back in real time. Developed by the National University of Defense Technology, it flaps its transparent wings 500 times per second, weighs only 0.3 grams, and is nearly invisible to radar. Sure, it can only fly for a few minutes, but that's enough to sneak into rooms, eavesdrop on conversations, scan for threats, or gather intel. Right now, it's still a prototype, but China claims it's designed for covert military operations. So next time you see a mosquito, you might want to look twice.
All right, Tony, you had the most frightening take on this. Why don't you tell people what you think of this technology?
Man, I get excited when I see videos like this, not because of, you know, the potential bad use for it, but because, you know, like we're headed towards that world. What did you expect the digital era, you know, with full AI to look like? Of course, you're going to get products like this all over the place. But the good news is that this ability to create these products is available to everyone, not just governments. And so we're going to see like a whole cocktail of things we've never imagined possible before. And I think collectively, that would balance things out. So it's not all doom and gloom, because there's a lot of intelligent people that will use this tech, you know, to counter the, you know, potential evil from the other side. But the fact that this tech is actually possible for a tech guy like myself, this is like Disneyland, man. So this is why, you know, I smile when I watch these videos. I know it freaks a lot of people out, because in the context that it's being presented right now, yes, this is not a pretty picture. But, you know, if you zoom out and look at the possibilities, you know, of putting this tech in someone with good intentions who can fight off, you know, bad people, you know, then you have a more optimistic view on it.
I think the concern for me, Tony, is that in order to build tech like this, you need a lot of capital. And the people who have a lot of capital are the big tech companies who are in bed with the government, who don't want average people to be able to defend themselves against this type of technology. So my concern is that it just becomes monopolized by basically government in the background, and that we never have the access to this. Now, maybe there's going to be open source tools and everything. And like, this doesn't look like, you know, but like if there are chips or like other harder to get, more expensive components that go into it, like it's probably not like assembling a Raspberry Pi, you know, it could.
All prices are going down in a world, you know, founded with AI, or, you know, like with a lot of AI all over the place. Price is not going to go up. I mean, I don't think it costs that much to build something.
Can we access the supply chains though, or is that shut off to the general
public? Don't need to access the supply chain. Most of these components can be 3D printed. With access to a 3D printer and an AI giving him the schematics of exactly what needs to be done, that can be whipped up in 15 minutes. That's why I'm saying when the genie's out of the box, it's out of the box for everyone. You cannot contain this or think it's like exclusively reserved for governments and what have you. It's out for 8.3 billion people. Whoever wants to use it and takes the time to learn it, that ability is in their hands as well.
So Greer, are you as optimistic that the droids who are going to inject the next plandemic into the whole world and spy on us are a good thing?
Yeah, I'm in the terrified category. You know, my brain is thinking like, how do I set up a home defense from mosquito drones so that they can't, you know, eavesdrop on me and then sell me advertising or sell me products through advertising? Because I think that's where this goes. You know, this is all about big data. Yeah, it's used initially for covert activities, but then every small business in your city is going to be sending out swarms of drones to get customer data, feedback. What are they thinking? What are they listening to? Are they going to be likely to buy my product? You know, I think the defense technology is going to be a natural reaction. You know, this is just physics at work here in the drone category. So I'm hopeful that we can develop some autonomous response to this. But, you know, overall, I say, goodness, send me back in time. You know, I want to go live on a farm somewhere. Horses, you know, drink out of a well. I'm ready for the Stone Age.
My takeaway is I do not have enough shotgun shells if this is the world we'll soon inhabit. So I think I'm going to be stocking up. All righty. Wild inversion move tonight. And this was from 2 days ago. Wild move tonight is gold surged to a new all-time high while Bitcoin moved the opposite direction. I mean, this is a crazy chart to look at. If you're watching this online, if you're not, basically you can just see a giant green candle for gold and Bitcoin dumps. Tony, man, it feels like it's taken forever for people to sniff out what Bitcoin is. Like, they're sniffing out what's going on geopolitically, obviously, and going to the old, you know, pet rock that we've all played with for so long. But what do you think's happening here?
Man, this is why I keep telling you can't be bearish enough on human IQ. Most people don't think. Most people, you know, don't take the time to learn anything new. They just react, you know, and this is clearly a panic chart. People are fearful of, you know, whatever it is that they're fearful of, and they're just acting on instinct, not on knowledge, on instinct, because gold cannot function in a digital world. It's like, you know, buying fax machines because you don't trust email. Like, that's how retarded this looks to me. And it's, you know, it's just a question of time before this reverses. And the thing is, when it does, I think it's going to come crashing down, you know, for the gold bugs, because they're quickly going to realize that, okay, so we had our moment of fear, but, you know, obviously it was not the right decision, and we need to go somewhere that actually makes sense for the future. And gold is not it. No precious metals has, you know, like a long lifespan utility-wise in a digital world. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. Greer, you think there's any signal here, or just dumb people making the wrong trade?
I think Bitcoin is really liquid. So if you're Japan and you're looking at the rising yield in their bonds, I think that, you know, we're seeing a lot of this play out because of the Japan carry trade that's unwinding. I also think that, you know, the president of the United States can jump on his social platform and cause markets to shift, you know. And I think because Bitcoin's the most liquid, if you're in trouble, it will be the first thing you sell. If you're a Bitcoiner, you know, this is great. You know, I think after a year of sideways trading, we're probably all pretty emotionally hardened. I would say that this, you know, going from 94 to 90, even if we went down to the 80s, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a good time to buy sats. And I think if you're someone who's invested in gold, just like Tony said, you know, this is old tech. It's only going to be rotated into Bitcoin eventually. Maybe it won't happen today, but I think that we're going to see a lot of gold's surges be mirrored by Bitcoin as scarcity increases, as education increases. So, you know, this is one of the benefits of being early to Bitcoin.
I agree. All righty, guys, let's jump to this last one here. So Lola Leitz shared, would anyone from Zcash like to clarify who in the fresh hell thought it was a good idea to appoint a guy from WorldCoin as the interim CEO of a, quote, privacy product? I'm putting that in quotes because I'm less confident. So this guy, Stephen Smith, is now the interim CEO of Electric Coin Company, primary developer of the Zcash currency, and he used to be with Tools for Humanity as the head of protocol and applied research. So basically a guy who's grifting, you know, spying on people, or at least part of a project that spies on people, is now in charge of a privacy product, supposedly. Tony, shitcoin land is just, it's peaking in clown world.
Yeah, man, I'm not gonna waste any time and energy trying to dissect this level of stupidity. It was a shitcoin to begin with, so everything that comes around along with it, you know, is going to be, you know, at the same level. So next.
Yeah. Greer, anything you'd add?
I echo that. This is probably the least surprising news. Of course, a shitcoin company is going to hire someone who scanned people's eyeballs to fairly distribute crypto, which is what WorldCoin did or does. I don't know if it's a failed project or not, but yeah, I think that they're working as hard as they can to create the alternative to Bitcoin. And I think that's another reason why we see the price being held down. The institutions are acquiring it as quickly as they can. And I think that the other side is working on building something that's viable. But, you know, they're grasping at straws. It's not going to happen as much as they kick and scream. And Bitcoin's here to stay. So I think it's a shame that people waste so much time working on cryptocurrencies. Put all that energy and effort into Bitcoin, and I think the world would be instantly better. It would be better overnight if we saw all of the time and talent and thought power going in towards more Bitcoin adoption.
I completely agree with that. Guys, that's a good place to wrap up. Thank you for both for being here. For everyone who tuned in, really appreciate it. Do us a favor, stick around for another minute. You can learn about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you with proper self-custody, everything else that we do, and we will be back again here very soon. Gents, we'll talk later.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.